we come together for our annual general meeting and that you would be in all of our deliberations and discussions, and we commit this time into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, the first order, forget about this agenda you see on the top here, is our senior warden.
Good morning. So what I wanted to do is just kind of briefly run over a couple items, probably four. The things that have gone on this year are, first, getting the Cantillons here, which is, as you know, it's been a... It's turned out to be about a two-year process. We're... as you are, very thankful for that, and couldn't be happier about that. Second thing that's going to come up, and I'm just going to briefly say one word, a couple words about it, and then direct you toward Brian Nash, and we can bring him up later, is that we're looking at amending our bylaws to bring them into conformity with the diocese and with ACNA, the national church. Pat Hickey took this opportunity to get out of town. He's our treasurer. And so I'm not a financial guy at all. And when I took this position, I said, I can't do that kind of thing. But our budget for 2016 was $824,000. We're going to bump it up just a touch for 2017 to 844. You can take a look at the profit and loss statement for those of you who are financial types and kind of get an idea of where we are there. I'm sorry. Okay, I'll lean forward. I was saying Hickey's out of town. Pat Hickey's out of town. If you got any detailed questions about the profit and loss statement, you're going to have to wait about a week. But just in general terms, our budget for last year was $824,000. We're going to bump it up to $844,000. This is a testament to your generosity, and we thank you for that, and hopefully we'll continue in the same vein. With regard to the bylaws, any questions with that, if you'll hold those, and Brian can address those. Actually, now, can we do it now? You want to wait? Okay, let's get through Alfred's talk, and then I just want to thank you. I've served on the session, which is what it is in the Presbyterian Church, 20 years ago, and I really left that with a sort of jaundiced view of church politics, and. I just want to tell you that I leave this with a different view because like this congregation, the vestry, I was surrounded by believers. We didn't necessarily agree, and I know that not everybody here agrees with everything the vestry's done for the last 3 years, but I believe that for 3 years I was surrounded by believers, and I can tell you that one of the great things about this church, and Francis and I count ourselves as blessed to be among God's people, and we view ourselves as incredibly blessed in that, and I thank you for that. That's all I got. Thanks.
Jess, thank you for everything you've done. Really appreciate it very much.
The other Jess. Okay, I wanted to share a few words because when when it comes to preaching, you don't really want to spend the whole time doing this sort of thing. So I'll just read something I've written quickly, and we'll go from there. Please excuse my throat. It's acting up this week. I'll do my best. So Alfred Memory and dear people of Christ Church, it was just over 2 years ago that Alfred first called us up in Canada, and this adventure began. An adventure that had many ups and downs, but through it all, the Lord has shown himself to be faithful, and we have learned to trust him again and again. Trusting God seems to be the way of the kingdom. But here we all are together, and I am full of excitement for this next chapter together in Atlanta. Eric and I are so honored to be partnering with Alfred in Memory. You have witnessed their faithful work here amongst you for the past two decades, but we have witnessed their work and the impact they left in Israel from their ministry there in the 80s. Whenever I try to paint a picture of Alfred to a friend, I say he's a tell-it-like-it-is, no-nonsense Southerner with a Northerner's name, and one of those few catalytic leaders you come across in a lifetime, a man who seems to walk in the favor of God. I believe that, and this is my opinion, but I think it's a good one, I believe that they are the most significant leaders to have ministered at Christ Church in Jerusalem since those early pioneering days 200 years ago. It's been almost 30 years since they ministered in Israel, and the pioneering work they did continues to be the ministry that Christ Church Jerusalem does today. And it's not only at Christ Church where their impact is felt. Ministries and leaders in Jaffa, in Haifa, and in other churches and denominations across the country and in Jerusalem owe a great deal to them. This includes the largest indigenous Hebrew-speaking congregation in the nation, which is led by Oded Shoshani, who began his ministry under Alfred at Christ Church. Alfred and Memory, it really is our honor to partner with you guys. We're so grateful, and we're just pumped for this next season. Alfred told me I had 2 minutes to talk, so I will take one more minute and give you a little glimpse into what I'm dreaming about for this coming year. It's still a little early to really know what the Lord might have me do here amongst you, but there are a few things that I feel require our focus as a congregation in the days ahead, and they are one, children, two, children, and three, children. I'm a bit biased because I have five of them. But you are clearly a congregation that loves kids. It's no doubt. Our kids have felt so welcomed and loved by y'all in these early days. I'm learning. And even though we've added these five to the community, in one fell swoop, you have all rolled with the punches, with grace. From buying extra cookies for the welcome table and to employing their muscles at teardown after the service is finished, you've been patient with them as they've learned to navigate the yes sir and the yes ma'am culture, and you've lavished them with gifts. We couldn't have asked for a better landing. They truly felt like VIPs. They told us when we first landed, said, I felt famous, all these people taking pictures and clapping, and I just... My prayer is that this sort of welcome, the same sort of welcome, be extended to every kid that walks through those doors. And for the sake of mission, of God's kingdom being expanded amongst us, let's continue to embrace the beautiful chaos that comes with children and that they bring to the table, their noise, their never still feet, and their bottomless bellies. These are the VIPs of the kingdom. And they come from sometimes peaceful, but more often than not, broken homes. And they too, even at a young age, know that they need Jesus. So let's continue the amazing work of welcoming them in. So today, I left it over there, but I'm going to be handing out some flyers, just some invitation cards that you can give to the kids that are close to you for next week. I told you last week that we're going to be, or 2 weeks ago, that we're going to be having a Children's Sunday next week. And with it, we're going to be beginning a new season of life in our church as we incorporate children's lessons into our weekly liturgy. And so I'm going to ask you to do three things. To commit today to, one, to pray for a child. Two, to invite a child. And three, to welcome a child. So there's three easy things that all of us can do. I only printed out 200 flyers because I figure I don't want to overwhelm you. So that should be enough for every family to invite one or two kids maximum. But I want you to commit to do those three things. One, to invite a child, to pray for a child, and to welcome a child. So before I sign off, I should mention that I had the privilege of sitting down with the volunteer leaders at Christchurch last week, and I have to say they and you are an amazing group of people. Some of them, like Mercedes Spratt with the Holy Table Guild, have been volunteering since the beginning of this church. It's so clear to me that y'all understand that we are a body of Christ, each of us having a gift and unique calling within the church. Jan, who is amazing, she really is amazing, she needs more volunteers. This is a call for volunteers. And so if you feel so called to kids, to children, maybe you're a grandparent with a lot of love to give, maybe you're the best aunt Atlanta has ever seen, we need you to be part of the children's ministry team. And so I need, she needs, eight people. It's not many. We just need eight people who can join her ministry team that would be in and on a rotation. We're rethinking our security as a children's wing and children's ministry, and we need other teachers as well. So please talk to me today, and we'll stand together as we welcome the kids. I'll finish with this scripture verse, Matthew 19:13. Then little children were brought to him, to Jesus, that he might put his hands on them and pray, but the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them, and he blessed them, and departed from there. Thank you.
Jess, thank you. It's hard to believe that as of the 25th of January 2017, this congregation has entered its 20th year. It seems like yesterday that a group of us met in the home of Barbara and Brian Nash. Actually, it was October of 97. To talk about the formation of an Anglican church that would be Anglican in ethos, but would be faithful to Scripture. We had our first meeting on the 25th of January, 1998, in the lunchroom of the high school. That day happened to be the Feast of the Conversion of Paul the Apostle and the anniversary of my ordination as a priest. We started this congregation over the strong objections of the then Bishop of Atlanta, but with the strong support of my bishop, Bishop Terry Kelshaw. I shall be forever grateful to Terry for his encouragement and support as we sailed into the uncharted waters long before the creation of ACNA, ADOTS, or even the possibility of Anglican oversight from overseas. Many of you were there at the first service, and you have remained steadfast and faithful ever since. And I am most especially thankful for you and for those who have joined us since, for your spiritual and financial support, and for the warm, affirming fellowship which I believe the Lord has built in this congregation. I was especially encouraged this year by the arrival of our new associate rector, the Reverend Jess Catalan, his wife Erica, and their sons Jonah, Benji, Kobe, Monty, and Teddy. Most of you are aware that the visa and moving process took nearly 2 years from inception to completion. Like most things that God initiates, there is a spiritual battle involved, and the call of the Catalans was no exception. But like everything that God does, the battle was worth it. Please continue to pray for Erica, Jess, and their children as they find their spiritual and physical feet in a new country and a new church. They have already been a blessing to all of us. My everlasting gratitude goes to the Reverend Rusty DeMoss for his sensitivity to the Holy Spirit in suggesting Jess to me. I had known Jess from the time he was a little boy in Israel and was aware that he had since been ordained as an Anglican clergyman and was working in Canada, but I didn't know anything else. It took Rusty to bring Jess back onto my radar screen. It was one of those God moments when Rusty mentioned Jess's name to me, and I immediately picked up the phone and called Jess in Canada and unloaded on him with the idea, the possibility of coming here to be with us at Christ Church. Jess is not only a gifted pastor, preacher, and musician, but he also brings with him the ability to speak Hebrew in an impeccable Israeli accent. And he really does speak it well. I speak it like a redneck, but he speaks it well. Such blessing I could not have imagined when we began 19 years ago. All of us have been blessed this year by the preaching and teaching of the Reverend Canon Phil Ashe and Bishop David Anderson. Phil, would you, well, they know who you are, but both of these men have an international insight to our church because of their important work with the American Anglican Council. The AAC, which we support as a congregation, is leading the realignment currently taking place in the Anglican Communion along the fault line of biblical orthodoxy. We're blessed to be able to pray for and support the work of the AAC, along with other important ministries which are furthering the gospel at home and abroad. We tithe 10% of our income to mission work outside of our church, and some of that is local, some of it is international. I encourage you to look at the list in the packet that you received of where we gave money last year. There's a list of the different ministries we supported and the amount that we gave to each. In addition to the list of ministries, we also support the Anglican Diocese of the South and the Anglican Church in North America. Archbishop Foley Beach, who leads both ADOTS and ACNA, will be with us here at Christ Church on March the 19th. I did get a text message. I don't think Foley was aware we were having our annual general meeting, but he sent me a message this morning saying he was praying for us as a congregation and particularly for me, which I greatly appreciate. Special thanks this year go to our outgoing senior and junior wardens, Jess Sasser and Nancy Quarles. What, would y'all stand, please? And to our outgoing vestry member, Claire Draper. Thank you for your faithful and diligent service to our Lord and to the body of believers here at Christ Church. We're grateful for the Lord's ministry through you to us. I am pleased to announce that Dr. Bill Wood has agreed to become the senior warden for this coming year. And a final thanks to all of you. I won't attempt to mention people by name because if I do, I will forget somebody. I tried that in the early days of the annual general meeting. But I want to thank all of you who minister to us in every aspect of the life of Christ Church. You make possible the functioning of an authentic Christian community, which encourages and builds up one another in the love of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. My prayer for us and for myself this year is that Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 would become a reality in each of our lives, and that from that, true revival will come, the sort of revival we read about in the book of Acts, where it said that the early believers in Jesus were known as people who turned the world upside down. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Amen. Amen. The results of our vestry election, the new vestry members are Marion Nolan, would you please stand? And keep standing. Joe Carpenter and Craig Schneider. Thank you. One of the tasks of this meeting is to elect a junior warden. There has been one name put forward for nomination, Butch Merritt. I'd like to open the floor for any other nominations for that position. It's been moved and seconded. The nominations be closed. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. I think we need to move that Butch is elected by acclamation. Somebody do that? Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Now, at this stage, I'd like to ask Brian Nash, who is our lawyer, if he would come forward and discuss the proposed changes in the bylaws.
Morning, everyone. Jess was on a time count. I think Alfred's got me on a word count, so we'll keep it real short. I'm happy to answer any specific questions. I think you all received this hopefully by email or snail mail. The only remarks I'd like to make are simple. One is we do keep a very light touch when it comes to legalism and drafting of rules and things of that sort. Phil Ashe, I think, would back me up on this. The entire ACNA, Constitution and Canons, is shorter than the table of contents of some other denominations, so we try to keep it very short. These changes are mostly housekeeping. They've accumulated over a long period of time. Our last amendment of any sort was in 2006. So this is largely things that have just come up and we sort of put them in a file and thought about. And other changes are changes that are required by more recent changes to the ACNA Constitution and Canons or the ADOTS, our Diocese Constitution and Canons. So we're trying to conform to those as we should. These have not been amended since we're a member church of the Anglican Communion Network. So that goes to show how long it's been since we've amended these. I think that's probably all I really need to say other than perhaps the lawyers. There have been some great lawyers who have helped keep us focused on what we need to do with regard to these legal changes. And I think everybody that I tend to deal with would be of the same view, which is we don't have a specific agenda other than to try to anticipate where things could go wrong 5 years, 10 years down the road. So there are no crises we're responding to. There's nothing of that sort. These are just what we think are recommended changes for the life of the church. Do we have any questions? All right, well, thank you all. Do you want to do the motion? I'd like to entertain a motion to accept these amended and restated bylaws and adopt them as the bylaws of the church. Any discussion? Having none? All in favor, say aye, please.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, thank you all. Where is Jess Sasser? Oh, okay. They may have some questions. I mean, is there any other business? There's nothing else on the agenda. Well, if you don't have any questions for Jess. All right. If there's no other business, can I entertain a motion to adjourn? Is there a second? All in favor? We're adjourned. Thank you.